Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good Sunday morning, and welcome to Hot Topics, a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department on Duval's only R&B. Here's Julie Morgan.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Julie Morgan. Election day in Florida means you'll have 12 amendments on the ballot to vote on. The original number was 13, but Amendment 8 has been removed. Today, we're talking about Amendment 2. It's one of the two amendments having to do with how much you pay for the property you own. Today, I'm joined by Drew Carroll with Everybody is for Two. Drew, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. So we're talking about the midterms elections coming up. So many amendments on the Florida ballot, right? Everybody is for Amendment Two. That's interesting. Tell me about this organization.
This organization is a political campaign and bipartisan. We have Republicans and Democrats, people from both sides of the aisle working across the state, from the Panhandle to me in Jacksonville, Tampa, Orlando, down to Miami. And we are just trying to really spread the word more than anything. It really doesn't feel like a political campaign. It's really just an information campaign. Like you said, there's a lot of amendments on the ballot. It can be overwhelming and confusing. I looked at my sample ballot last night. It was long. There's a lot of information on there, a lot of stuff that I don't even know about, so I've got to do my own research. So I feel like the last 4 or 5 months that I've been doing this, and me and my cohorts around the state, I feel like we've just been trying to tell people what this thing is and explain it the best we can, because I feel like as long as people know what's happening with Amendment 2 and all the other amendments, I trust them to make the right decision.
All right. So let's talk about this.
Okay.
What is Amendment 2? What does it say?
So Amendment 2 relates to the first two amendments on the ballot. The statewide amendments are both relate to property taxes. The first one is another homestead exemption. And then Amendment 2 that I'm focused on and working on is the non-homestead exemption. Homestead properties are homes that people live in permanently that they claim as their homestead, and you get a 3% cap on your home. And then there's also exemptions for the value of the property that you don't have to pay taxes on. On the non-homestead side, non-homestead properties are literally everything else. So you're talking about a lot of residential properties. 60% of the taxes collected from non-homesteads are from rental residential properties. And you're talking about businesses. So all your local small businesses in your community, all of that is non-homestead properties. So what Amendment 2 would do, in 2008, there was a 10% cap put in place for how much the tax assessment could increase for those properties. But that one provision had a 10-year sunset put on it. So 10 years later, here we are. The legislature put it back on the ballot, and Amendment 2 would permanently extend that 10% cap. So it would be in place permanently. If Amendment 2 does not pass, it will expire when the ball drops at the end of the year. It'll go away probably, you know, if not forever, for a really long time. I can't imagine anyone trying to come back and do this again 2, 4, 6 years from now. And the Florida Department of Revenue estimates that that'll mean $700 million more in taxes collected next year from those non-homestead properties.
All right. So let's break this down.
Yeah, a lot of information.
A lot of information.
Lots.
Right? Okay. So we're going to start with the thing that you said last and then kind of try to make our way back. You said the Florida Department of Revenue said what about how much and what?
So right now the difference, between there's a capped and uncapped value. So everybody, when you have property gets appraised, you have your full value, your market value. They call it various things, but essentially what it would appraise for if you were trying to sell it. Then there's the capped value, which is what you actually are going to pay taxes on. And right now, the difference between that market value and the capped value, at least in the realm of non-homestead properties, is $85 billion. So that means that there's $85 billion in property value that taxes are not being paid on because the cap is sort of holding the taxable value back a little bit from where it would be if you were just paying, the full freight, so to speak. On the homestead side, that 3% cap is protecting about $500 billion worth of homes, property. So it's a much stronger protection on the homestead side. The 10% is $85 billion difference between that capped and uncapped value. And so the calculation, according to the Department of Revenue, if Amendment 2 fails, starting next year, all those non-homestead properties, the residential apartment buildings, local businesses are going to be paying taxes based on their full market value. So just based on that alone, that will mean $700 million more in taxes next year. And then moving forward beyond that, you can pay, your property value can increase by any amount. So it will be, the Florida State Economics Department says it'll be more than $5 billion over the next 5 years in extra taxes being taken in from non-homestead properties. Like, I want to say that's $700 million extra taxes. That's not the total amount being taken from those properties. That's $700 million more than what they would pay just based on where things stand right now.
All right. So let me play kind of devil's advocate here.
Sure.
All right. So some people would say, all right, sure, that's more money out of my pocket, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then that may be an increase in services that I get, because isn't that what taxes are supposed to pay for?
So this has been in place for 10 years. So this isn't a new thing. This isn't a new amount of money that's being taken away or redirected in any way. This is something that's been in place for 10 years. So this is not, wouldn't really affect the budgeting moving forward, because it would just be the continuation of the same. So it's not as if, for instance, if Amendment 1 were to pass, that's going to be a new exemption. That's going to be a new chunk of money that will be coming out of local budgets. And so you might see a little bit more of that issue related to Amendment 1. But Amendment 2 is just the continuation of what we have had for the last 10 years. And I would say that it's really, at this point, it's a little bit of a balancing issue for me, because all of this stuff is in the state constitution. Voters passed it to put it in there. And part of the theory of that is, we want to keep taxes low. Florida is, marketed as a low tax state. And by having all of these things in the state constitution, it makes it virtually impossible for any of these caps and exemptions to be taken away, because it all has to go back to voters. So you would have to have 60% of Florida saying, yes, I want my taxes to go up on my home. So I think it's reasonable to say that the series of caps and exemptions that you have for homestead property, which is saving a whole lot of money for homeowners, is more or less permanent. It's never going to go away. This 10% cap is the only thing that's sitting there sort of keeping things in balance for the non-homestead properties, like I said, that are going to affect renters. 60% of that non-homestead property tax is paid by residential properties. And a lot of those properties are going to be single family homes that people rent, and apartment buildings where people are renting. So this is really kind of almost a tax exemption for renters as opposed to homeowners. And if it goes away, you're just going to have a very imbalanced situation, and you could have the possibility of, you know, there could be potential for a little bit of abuse, maybe, for governments, local governments, trying to make up that difference with so much being exempted on the homestead front.
Hot 99.5, keeping you up to date with what's happening in the community. This is Hot Topics on Hot 99.5.
You said it's good for renters, so is it good for homeowners too?
Well, homeowners, you know, you've got a lot going for you if you're a homeowner, and definitely make sure you claim your homestead exemption because that's not automatic. So you've got, if you're a homeowner, you've got a 3% cap on the amount your assessment can go up each year. And you've got $50,000 exempted from the property value, already. You've got Amendment 1 on the ballot, to potentially give you another $25,000 in exemptions depending on the value of your property. So you've got a lot there, you know, you got a lot going for you if you're a homeowner.
And basically what you were saying is that the homeowner will not pass on that increase that the to the renter.
Well, right. I think if, you know, if you're renting, you know, if you have a home that you're renting, then you're not claiming a homestead exemption on that type of property. So now you're into the non-homestead category, where this 10% cap comes into play. And it's pretty easy to imagine that, you know, if you're in that situation and this cap goes away and you have a one-time increase next year of, you know, a 30, 40, 50% increase based on however much, you know, the difference is between that, like I talked about, capped and uncapped value. You know, you could see a one-time spike next year just based on the expiration of the cap. Chances are a lot of landlords aren't just going to swallow that whole. It's going to get passed on to the renters in some form or fashion. And that's just going to be another thing driving rents, you know, northward. I lived in New York for 5 years, and $1,500 a month when I first got up there seemed like an astronomical amount of money. And now I'm not too far behind that living in Jacksonville Beach right now. So it's almost becoming the norm. And if this non-homestead cap goes away, that's just going to be another pressure on pushing rent even further up.
Whenever you've gone around to different businesses or organizations and you've talked to people about Amendment 2, are they aware that it even exists, that it's on the ballot?
Some are, and some aren't. It's sort of a mixed bag. Some of the audiences I tend to get in front of are, you know, slightly more informed than maybe the general population is. But, I have done a little bit of recruiting around Jacksonville, going to some restaurants where there's a significant difference between, you know, what they would pay if Amendment 2 passes or fails. And some of them, I'm not going to name any names, but some of them, you know, were maybe generally aware, but not specifically aware of what, you know, the potential impact is going to be. You know, certainly if it doesn't pass, I think some people are going to, you know, get their letters from the property appraiser next year. And if Amendment 2 doesn't pass, you know, they're going to have a significantly higher property value to pay taxes on. And I do think a lot of people will be surprised. Hopefully not, because it's going to pass.
So how does this impact schools?
So as a simple answer, I definitely understand the concern about taxes related to funding for schools. That's a huge issue. And I'm extremely sympathetic to that. And it's a very simple answer, fortunately for me, as far as Amendment 2 is concerned. The non-homestead cap has never applied to school taxes. I've seen the trim letters for the non-homestead properties. It's set out right there very plainly that school taxes are paid based on the full value of the property. So this 10% cap, it has no impact on the amount that these non-homestead properties pay in for school taxes. So it only applies for the other local taxes.
So another thing that you mentioned is that the people that you've spoken to, they seem to be more informed. Mm-hmm. So that means you've probably heard some people say, it's a no for me on Amendment 2. What are some of their concerns?
So one of the arguments I've gotten is that we would rather do away with all the caps and exemptions, that this is just sort of creating an artificial system of, winners and losers, so to speak, that we could keep rates lower overall if we didn't have these caps and exemptions. And I'm actually sympathetic to that argument as well. I think that makes sense. But the part where you lose me is the fact that the voters approved all of this to go into the state constitution. And just from a matter of reality, that means that for all of these caps and exemptions to go away, like I said before, 60% of Florida voters would have to vote to basically raise their property taxes. It's working against us in the other way on this 10% non-homestead cap because it's sunsetting, it's going away. So we have to try and get 60% to say we want to keep it. I am very skeptical that 60% of Florida is going to vote to raise their property taxes. I think all those caps and exemptions are here to stay. And so I just don't really think it's all that realistic to say that we're going to get rid of all of this stuff and then local governments are going to vote to lower the rates. That's a long, hard slog. I get the argument. I am sympathetic to the argument. The reality of it is that there's a whole lot of work that would have to be done in order to accomplish that goal, and I quite frankly don't see it happening. And that's really, the most compelling argument that I've heard. There's no formal opposition. There's nobody out there doing what I'm doing and going around and talking about this. So we're the only campaign out there that's officially, doing work on Amendment 2. So, like I said, the education issue has come up and, we addressed that. And the Florida Education Association had decided to stay neutral on Amendment 2. We talked to them and seemed like they maybe considering opposing, but they decided to stay neutral. And I'm pretty sure that if this was going to have a negative impact on school funding, that they wouldn't be sitting it out. So those are really the two things I've heard about on the trail, so to speak.
And it would also be a lot to explain if someone went in opposition to it as well. They would have to explain a lot to voters.
Right. Like I said, I feel like this really it's been more of an informational campaign than a political campaign because it's a very complicated topic. It's a lot of legalese that you have to kind of cut through to get to the bottom line of what this is and what would happen if it passed or failed. So it's really, I'm more focused on just trying to explain it in a way that makes sense to people and is correct than I am trying to make some kind of political point about it.
Well, Drew, we are almost out of time. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I'll just, repeat it because it is complicated and it is confusing. So just to simply state it as best I can, a yes vote on Amendment 2, you are supporting the permanent extension of a 10% cap on property taxes for non-homestead property, which includes residential property, rental property, business property in your local community. So a vote yes on Amendment 2, and you're going to permanently extend that cap to keep taxes manageable and in balance for those non-homestead property owners in Florida.
All right, Drew. Thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. One more thing. Tell everyone your website.
Everybody is for two, the number two, everybody is for two. Hottopics.com.
Awesome. Thanks for coming in.
All right. Thanks, Julie.
We wanted to make sure this was not a one-sided discussion. In my research, I found organizations that are against Amendment 2. So they say you should vote no on 2. One is the League of Women Voters, who says they oppose it because the League has a position that no tax sources or revenue should be specified, limited, exempted, or prohibited in the Constitution. Another is Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida, who says to vote no on 2 because this will continue to limit resources available for public services. And according to the Citizens for Equitable Tax Policy, local government relies on property tax revenue to provide vital governmental services such as safety, police and fire, parks, public transportation, and libraries, all of which attract people to live in the state of Florida. We also interviewed someone about Amendment 4. That amendment has to do with felons getting their civil rights back. That audio is on our website. Just click on Hot Topics on the Hot Cares page. Thanks for joining me today on Hot Topics. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Hot Topics on Hot 99.5. Hot Topics is a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department. For more information about the program you just heard, visit myhot995.com, then click on Hot Cares. And join us again next Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. for another edition of Hot Topics on Duval's only R&B, the new Hot 99.5.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.